Hello and welcome back to the Pixel Street Podcast. This is episode 257 of the show. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Joel Campos, and joining me is the man who only plays MLB The Show 25. Is it 25? 24.
24.
24, John Hansen.
I wouldn't say only. I've been playing quite a bit of it, but
yeah,
I've
I'm
been
just
playing
joking.
Some other things. There have been times in the past where I was like addicted to it almost when the baseball game came out. But now that we're a few years in of Xbox getting these games, it doesn't have the same impact. I'm still glad it's that we get it every single year on Game Pass. I love it. Don't change that, MLB or Xbox. But it just doesn't have the same like hit. Cause like when was the first year? 21 that we got it, I think.
Was it 21 or 22?
Probably 22. Whatever it was, it had been like 16 years since I played a good baseball game. So over the last few years, I've gotten enough exposure to been like, okay, I can definitely see all the areas where I would like them to improve, and they probably never will.
Yeah, it's just MLB The Show. I mean, this year, the big change in my mind from like the few hours I played of it before leaving last week is the biggest change is the menu looking different, because like the past few years, they've all looked the same. Like it's the same exact menu.
Too bright. Because it's all white. Not a fan.
Too bright. Well, as always,
I need a night mode in my MLB The Show.
A night mode. just like, there's got to be a way to put like a negative setting on TVs somewhere, right?
Right.
To make all the whites dark, but then you load into a game and you have to change it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you can follow us on Twitter at Pixel Street. Check out the pinned tweet there. To follow us on all of our social media platforms. Join the Discord server. Come say what's up. Send us pictures of your dogs. Tell us what you're playing. If you're looking for people to play with, hit us up. We're usually playing games. I don't know. Sometimes we're not. Right?
I would say I am, because I don't have a life. I pretty much always am.
I got a text from a friend today. Of somebody saying, like, because, you know, I play bocce every Thursday. They're like, mm-hmm. Hey, sign-ups for the next league start, open up on, like, Monday or Tuesday. They're like, do we want to do the same league or do we want to do a league that's outside? And one of the people responded in the group, well, I don't have anything going on in my life right now, so I'm down to do both.
I feel that.
I just thought that was hilarious.
I used to play slow-pitch softball, and this was in my early 20s, so about... I started when I was 17. I kind of did it a little early. You're not supposed to start until you're 18. I was 17 in high school, and like I was just about to be 18. And I did that until I was like 24-ish. So I did it for quite a few years. And I loved it. And I really miss it. And I won't lie, lately I've kind of been like looking at like, because this is the time of year now where all of those like recreational leagues are like posting like, hey, signups for this, signups for volleyball are here, signups for pool here, all this other stuff. And I was just like, you know, I suck at volleyball, but if I could find a team that wanted me on, I'd probably go play just so I could have a sport to play. Because when I was doing slow pitch softball, I was doing it like 3 times a week. Like every Sunday, every Tuesday, sometimes on Thursdays, and I was playing like 5 games a day. I was just constantly playing.
That's a lot.
I also like just miss being active and like getting all this fat off my belly because I just don't have anything to play now.
I don't know if they do it by you, but near me for certain sports, I don't think softball is one of them. But it'll let you sign up like solo, like you pay for yourself, and then they kind of just put you on a team with mm-hmm. other people that are queuing up solo, or maybe a team that only has 3 people out of 4 for whatever the sport is. You know what I mean? So it's something worth looking into if you really did want to. But anyway, we're here to talk about video games, John. You can subscribe to us on youtube.com/pixelstreetvideos, where you can watch the show free every week. We live stream on Wednesdays.
If you want to pay us, I won't complain.
Yeah, John, what's your Venmo? Let people pay you.
Probably.
Okay, don't even say a name. Don't even say a name. If you don't know, you don't deserve their monies.
I do.
Yeah.
I just use PayPal more than I use Venmo.
We also, usually when I'm live streaming on Twitch, I'm also live streaming on the YouTube channel, and we save all the VODs there as well, so be on the lookout for that. But yeah, anyway, this week we're mainly going to be talking about PAX. I went to PAX last week, John. Did you hear about that?
You did? Yeah, I saw about that with your posts on Twitter.
And Discord. I posted some pictures on Discord, John.
Yeah. If I were not involved in the Discord, I would be feeling like I am missing out.
Yeah, exactly. So first of all, shout out to PAX for letting me go as media. That was really cool. I was able to like make appointments for games, which was nice because I didn't really have to wait in many lines. Although there were games that I did wait in line just because like it was stuff that I just happened to see when I was there. I was like, oh, that looks cool. I want to play it. But yeah, that was the thing is like there are so many games like because like most of what I played are indie games. And there are so many games that I feel like I see people like they'll talk about for like a day and then they move past it. And so it doesn't really interest me, like, you know, these big games like, I don't know, Halo, like the newest Call of Duty, you know, a big update to Cyberpunk, stuff like that. And then, like, when we were there at PAX, like, as soon as we got there, I was like, man, I just want to play all these fucking games. Like, they all look intriguing to me. And it definitely helps that, like, they have all these games playing on, like, the brightest OLED monitors they could find, probably, with, like, the fastest refresh rate. Because they just all look so pretty, and it's like, man, I want to play that.
They want to make the best impression, yeah.
Yeah, but then you have the flip side of that, where there are some games that, like, they look pretty, they look like a ton of fun, and they're just running off, like, a laptop, right? And, like, they still look great, and, like, that speaks volumes to, like, the development team and, like, how forward-thinking they are into, like, you know, pretty much wanting their games to play on Steam Deck and other, you know, smaller form factor stuff. But yeah, I just want to talk about some games that I played. So John, one of the coolest games I played this weekend, and it was the first game I played, was Pizza Bandit. Yes. So you know about this game from the tweets and stuff. This game's crazy, John. It looks and plays similar to Gears of War. It's not as clunky, I would say, as Gears of War. So it's a third-person shooter. You play as a pizza store owner who is fighting time bandits. The mission I played was kind of like a, almost like an extraction where it's like, hey, go in here, plant a drill, defend the area while the drill's opening a safe, you know, take whatever's in the safe, extract it, and then, you know, leave, more or less. But they did have like a big screen showing, gameplay of the game as we waited in line to play. And the mission they were playing, it looked like they were playing almost a horde mode, but at the same time, it looked like it was Overcooked because it was multiplayer. It was like four player co-op, I think. And it showed them like working together Overcooked style, cooking pizzas for orders while also killing all these monsters. And that's like some very chaotic energy that I can get behind. Like that just sounds like a ton of fun. Like, I scream at people when I play Overcooked. I can't imagine what I'm going to be screaming when John's over in a corner, like trying to kill some boss that doesn't matter when we're almost done making the pizzas. You know what I mean? Like, it just seems like so much fun. So this is going to be a four-player co-op game based on what the devs were telling me. And all we got to play was a single-player demo just because of, like, network issues that they were having at PAX. And this was a really small dev team. It's only been in development for 10 months, and it looks really great and runs great.
That's impressive. I'm looking at footage of it right now.
Yeah.
That's very impressive.
And there's only 6 developers working on this game, which is crazy. But yeah, they were telling us that like they have new monsters. Like some of the monsters that we played in the demo are kind of just placeholders for now until they get more detailed monsters in the game that they want to throw in there. But yeah, this was a great game. Ton of fun. I can only imagine it's going to be even more fun with friends. So I'm very excited to check that out whenever it comes.
Yeah, it looks really cool. Shout out to the Pizza Bandit in Dayton, Ohio that I found when I Googled this. It's a restaurant, so.
Oh.
Congrats to them.
Do some sort of collab.
Yeah. Like the devs just like call them up and put their put the logo in the game. That would be awesome. Yeah. No, this game looks awesome. I would with a team that small, I imagine this is only going to be on PC for a while.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it looks impressive though. One of those just absolutely psycho ideas that make video games so cool.
Yeah. The next game I played is called Let's Revolution. I feel like you might have heard of this game before.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's already out. I think it's out now on Steam and Switch. And I think it's out everywhere, honestly. Not 100% sure, but it's just a puzzle game. It's basically like a tactile minesweeper roguelike, I guess you could say, where you select abilities and then you can use those abilities as you're making your way through the map. Your objective is to follow the road across the map, and each tile has a number. And just from there, pretty much think Minesweeper. The number is associated with how many tiles surrounding it have a road on it, right? And then you use that information to try and guess where enemies are, and then use your abilities to take out the enemies. It was a ton of fun. The art style is awesome. It's made by, oh man, I can't remember the name. One second.
Duck and Ant Food?
No, I'm thinking of... Yeah, Buck. So Buck is a company that worked on... It might be crazy, but I think it's Into the Spider-Verse?
Oh, okay.
Buck Design... Hold on. Yeah, they worked on Across the Spider-Verse. And so, like, we were talking to the creative director, and he was telling us about how, like, when he would send a request to the art team, you know, like, for instance, in the top left of the screen, you see your guy, and they blink every so often just to make it more realistic. It's like, yeah, they said, like, I told them, yeah, I just need to edit in them blinking. And the art team sent them, like, a 20-frame animation where, like, the whole face kind of moves just for a blink. And he's like, no. I just need basically a frame of the eyes closed and the eyes open. Mm-hmm. And I can just code that in so that it just does that. Because it's just, like, a little icon. No. They did it. But, yeah, this game was awesome. It was a very pretty game. I enjoyed it a lot.
I love the animation in it. I haven't played it. But, yeah, it's pretty much a weird take on a Minesweeper.
Yeah, definitely. Up next, I played Pokemon the Trading Card Game. I told you that there was going to be like a big Pokemon booth there. And we got in line. So I think I was at the Let's Revolution demo. When I left, I saw Chad, Matt, and Dallas in the Pokemon line. They were like, yeah, we've only been in line 15 minutes. And they were all the way at the front already. And I was like, oh, cool, I'll do that. So I got in line with me and Adam got in line, but he didn't actually want to play. He was just hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cozy swapped spots with him. So played Pokemon TCG. We played a game called, I think it was just called Quick Catch. I'm not 100% sure what it was called. But it was basically like there were three Pokemon in the middle and we had to catch them. It was very fast. And then in the whole time at our table, there was like I don't want to say pro, but like a guide, a Sherpa, if you will, just kind of teaching us how to play the game. Yeah. And then me and Cozy played a game of the Pokemon trading card game. And I think that's the first time I've ever played that game in person.
Yeah. I've actually never done a battle in that game. I only collect the cards when I was a kid. So
yeah. And like, don't get me wrong, it's a ton of fun, but like, I just don't have anybody to play in person with, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I whooped Cozy's ass. That's more or less what happened.
Get wrecked, Coz.
And then they gave me some free cards and a pin, which I will show you later.
Oh, okay.
Up next, we played a game that is a card game. Sorry, I'm trying to pull up like gameplay or something of stuff. So this is called Star Wars Unlimited.
Oh, and yeah, I heard about this.
It's a new card game that came out at the beginning of March, and Matt has been like buying cards for the set, pretty much throughout the month. And he was telling us like, yeah, like they're going to be there. We got to play it. I got to show you guys. It's a ton of fun. I play with my brother and some friends in person. It's a great game. Let's play it. So we're like, all right. So we go over there and him and Dallas are playing. They're having fun. And I meet them over there and they're at a table. It's like a 4-person table. And there's the same thing where there's like a Sherpa, like teaching them how to play the game so that they're playing it correctly. And he's playing against another person. And that game ends, and he's like, you want to play? I was like, yeah, sure. And they were telling me about how, like, the Darth Vader deck is OP compared to the... Because, like, there's two starter decks. There's Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker, right? And they were talking about how much better the Darth Vader one was. And I was like, all right, well, obviously I want to play as that deck. You guys are talking up a big game. This guy wipes the floor with me. And he was just, like, laughing because he's like... Like, within, like, 5 minutes, I lost. Because he's like, yeah, it was just really unlucky for you because I have never gotten all these cards in a row like that, and there's just nothing you could do. So, yeah, that game was a ton of fun. We played it every single day we were there to a point that Matt and Dallas were playing it so much that they told them they could not use their tables anymore. They're like, you can't use these tables. You got to go buy the game. Because, like, because there was a line of people trying to play, right? And, like, if they were just sitting there, like, you know, for hours at a time playing each other, they wanted to use those cards to teach, you know, new people in the game, which makes sense,
That's
right?
That is fair, yeah.
Yeah, and so, like, they literally walked them over where they could buy the starter decks, even though Matt already owned them, and Matt bought them just so that they could keep playing, which is really funny. But, yeah, fun game. We even played this in the Airbnb Monday night in Rhode Island. I think you might have seen a picture of it. I posted on Twitter of the four of us just playing because it just so happens that Matt had ordered cards from eBay like that week leading up to PAX, before PAX, and they showed up at his house on Monday when we were there, and it was just like perfect timing. The world, you know, the stars aligned. And yeah, so Matt got those, brought them to the Airbnb. We played like a draft, which I had never done before. It was basically like all four of us open three packs and you pick one card from one of the packs and then you pass the rest of the pack to the next person and you keep doing that. It was interesting. It was really cool. Me and Matt lost to Chad and Dallas. But yeah, ton of fun. Which brings me to my next point. I think you own Tabletop Simulator and we literally just bought... What I was doing before the show while I was distracted is I was gifting Tabletop Simulator to them. We bought the 4-pack. Because you can play this game in Tabletop Simulator. Like, that's how all in we are right now, is that we just want to play this game. So
I love Tabletop Simulator.
I've never used it, but now that I own it, I want to use it a lot because it seems really cool. Like, people are modding the hell out of this thing to make it really fun.
It's really cool. Yeah. Big fan.
Yeah. So yeah, that's Star Wars Unlimited. The next game I played is a game called Deathbound. Have you heard of this?
I think it's been
like alpha for a while.
Let me find it.
So Deathbound is a single player party based Souls-like game. That's like the simplest way I can put it.
Single player party doesn't
single player party based. So you're one person and you can switch into
Gotcha.
So yeah. You play and you can switch at any time into one of four characters. And they each have their different skill sets. Like one, you know, was a heavy, one was more magic based, one with a sword, that kind of deal. Yeah. And like they each have their own health bar and, you know, stamina bars and stuff, which made it really interesting. It was a ton of fun. I don't like Souls-like games and I had a lot of fun playing this game. And that could be that, I don't know, because, like, obviously skill trees are a big deal in this. I don't know if the skill tree was just boosted up to make me enjoy the game more than I might when the game comes out. You know what I mean? Just for the demo purpose. But I enjoyed what I did play of it enough to where like I would consider picking it up at launch. Yeah, another game that just it looks really pretty too. All these Souls-like games, they're all looking very, very pretty. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I feel like that is one area where they're like, okay, we have to get this down, otherwise no one's going to play our Souls-like game.
Yeah. So yeah, that was a fun game to play. I don't really have many other notes on that. I didn't play that one too long just because I was dying a lot. But I had fun dying, I guess. Next game I played is called Tape to Tape. And this is a hockey roguelike game.
You lost me.
like two things that you just do not care about.
I do not care one bit.
So I only played multiplayer. I played against Chad. I did not play the roguelike aspect of it. But the gameplay was fun enough to where I got to pick this game up. Basically, you real get quick, abilities.
Yeah, real go quick, ahead. I will give it a lot of points for its animation. I love this animation.
Yeah, it looks really pretty.
That looks so good.
But yeah, so I played the PvP aspect against Chad. Certain players, certain teams have certain abilities in that. But the roguelike aspect, Matt played this and he bought it that night on his Steam Deck. Like, he's all in on it. Basically, you pick a character, you pick ability, and you go into games. And from what he was saying is certain games, like, you'll have an objective, right? Like, score one goal, right? And if you score one goal, you complete the objective. You don't have to play the whole game. Some will be like, be winning at the end of one period. That kind of thing, which is pretty cool. But yeah, super cool art style. The PvP was a ton of fun. And I'll definitely be looking to pick this up at some point.
Cool.
Up next, Animal Well. Do you know about this game, John?
No.
Called Animal Well. Animal Well. It's coming to PS5 and PC on May 9th. And also Switch, I guess. Maybe Xbox? I'm not 100% sure.
No.
Well, any yes, Animal Well. Okay. Yeah, there you have it. It's a 2D platformer, I guess, or Metroidvania. It probably is more accurate. With a really cool art style. Like, it has, like, a bunch of... how would you explain? Like, you know, like, the video very game Tron? Yeah. It's almost like Tron, right? Where it's like neon with like the scan lines across the screen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see a stretchy cat.
So that's where I ended, is the stretchy cat. I couldn't figure out what to do, how to beat it. Every time I touched it, I died. Yeah, it has a super cool art style. It's crazy cool. Like, there are explosions in the game, and the explosions just make the color pop like instantly. I'm pretty excited for this game. I hope it reviews well.
Just looking at this game gives me vibes of a very bad game called Deer God.
I've heard of that game. Don't people like that game, though?
Maybe. It's bad. It's not a good game.
I never played it, but I feel like I always see it. Like, maybe Limited Run did a release of it or something. I don't know.
It's not a good game.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
I'm sure this is a lot better than that game is. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I think people are excited for Animal Well. At least I know Jerrica and Audrey were excited to play it because they knew about it. I didn't know about it. The name sounded familiar, but nothing else about it.
Can't say I've heard of it before.
Yeah. Another game I played is called Rift Storm. This game is essentially, from what Adam was telling me, because I've never played Hades, but it's Hades with guns. It's Hades with guns to a point that the dev, after I played, I was like, I heard it was Hades with guns and thought I had to try it. And they're like, oh, so you're a big Hades fan. I was like, I've never played Hades. And he was like, you need to go play Hades, like, right now. I was like, Hades. Yeah, that's what everybody tells me.
Hades is fun. I enjoyed it. It's not something that I would ever like see my way all the way through, but I made it like 2-3 bosses in, something like that, and I had fun with it. I think you probably would enjoy it too, because it has a very good combat system. Is that on Game Pass? It might be on Game Pass still.
Maybe. I know it was at one point. Yeah. But yeah, it was super fast paced, which I liked a lot. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. They said this is going to be 3-player co-op, I believe. I don't remember exactly, but it's co-op of some sort.
Hades is not on Game Pass.
This is one of the games that ran real smooth and looked nice, even though it was on like a really small form factor PC. Like, it was like a box that was like 6 inches by 6 inches. So I was really impressed with that. They did say that they're going to have Steam Deck compatibility at launch, and they are going to announce it coming to consoles in the future. They just don't have like a full plan for that yet. So,
yeah.
And then I asked about PvP, just because I feel like a game like this could be interesting PvP. And they said they have no interest of doing PvP.
Look at you trying to get the scoop. What a boy.
I thought it would be fun. And they said that they don't want to do it because they want it to be kind of like a Helldivers experience, which I thought was funny because, like, Helldivers has been out for 3 weeks, it seems like. But yeah, they said they want to get like a Helldivers experience where, like, people want to go in with their friends and then play for, you know, 20, 30 minutes and hop out.
Well, I mean, yeah, everyone wants to be Helldivers right now.
Yeah, that's why I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
I went and saw, I don't know how to say it, the dev team that made Coffee Talk.
Oh.
Is it Togue or Toge? Well, I went and saw their booth, and I got to play A Space for the Unbound, which is a game, I believe it's already out. So they were displaying 4 games there. They had A Space for the Unbound, Coffee Talk Part 2, and then I forget what the other 2 ones. One was like a mech XCOM type game, which isn't really my jam. And I forget what the 4th one was, but I played A Space for the Unbound. It was a very wholesome game with an intriguing story. The story, from what I took from the demo, was the woman and the guy are like co-writing a book, or he's her editor of some sort, and she can't figure out the final chapter, and then it like something like lightning strikes them, and it's like you're writing the end of the book while living through it. But yeah, cool pixel art. I definitely can tell that it's from the same people that made Coffee Talk, even though I didn't beat Coffee Talk 1. It has the same like wholesome vibes of like, you know, like you're not doing too much. It's a chill game that you can relax and play. Like, yeah, you don't have to think too much while you're doing it.
That is the entire basis of Coffee Talk 1 and 2, and I love both of those games for that. Like, they are just perfect games to just relax, listen to the soft music playing in the background, go through the story. It's good stuff.
Yeah. So yeah, he did tell me to reach out, and he'll send me some code, so I'll reach out. Ooh. The other game, which I think is the last game I have here that I can talk about, is Astro Duel 2. Have you heard of that before?
Astro Duel 2. No.
So it's like a pixel art like they party game?
They just straight up took the Mega Man logo from the NES days.
Yeah, they did. There's no denying that. But yeah, so it's very much a party-based game, and this game was a fucking blast. So there are... It's out now on Steam and Switch. It's already out. Came out a while ago. In a way, like the art style.
That's what I was going to say. This looks very killer. Like,
and the attacking of it. It's a 6-player game. You can play on teams or solos. So you fight ships in space, kind of like Galaga in a way, or something like that. Not Galaga, because Galaga you're really locked into place, but... you know what I mean. Different ships have different abilities. And then when you go inside, you fight on foot, where you can get power-ups like swords and stuff. Sometimes you'll get a power-up inside that you have to take outside. And you can jump in and outside from any entrance at any point. You don't have to do anything. As soon as you jump outside, you just turn into a ship, more or less. And sometimes you'll get a power-up inside that's for the ship that you have to jump outside to use. But yeah, it was chaotic. People were like screaming. The creative director was like cheering me and Adam on. And he's like calling us out on our shit. He's like, what are you guys doing? Like, you need to get over there. What are you doing? I'm reading some of my other notes. So some of the maps are all space. Some are all, you know, ground, and some are a mixture of the two. Power-ups are available throughout the map. They're just kind of random spawns. And I think it's the first player to 10 kills wins. I don't remember how many kills you needed. So basically, you play until everybody's dead but one person, and then it restarts the round to the next round. So, like, one person can get one kill, and it counts towards their total that game. But then once the round ends, it resets. Everybody's alive, spawning you in different places. Then you play again.
I'm looking at footage of the first game right now, and that second one looks a lot more chaotic than the first one does.
Yeah, he said that they changed a lot, like their whole thought process, pretty much.
Yeah,
when they were making the second game. But yeah, people, like, that booth had people playing that game nonstop, because it was just on one big TV, and there were six controllers, and yeah, so it was a ton of fun. Yeah, and that's everything I played. I'm trying to think. I might have played a few other things, but nothing I took notes on. But yeah, I had a blast, man.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, it was just nice because, like, every time I go to C2E2 here in Chicago, they don't have video games. Like, they have a gaming section that's just like, hey, play these old games or play these games that are out now. We have a few arcade cabinets. Join the Smash tournament at 3:00. It's like, no, I want to see, like,
new stuff.
New stuff. Even if it is all indie stuff, right? Like, yeah. The PAX I went to this weekend is nothing near close to what PAX was 10 years ago, when it was like Sony would have a presence, right? Or Xbox would have a presence. Granted, Nintendo was there this time, but it was just like, what Pokemon game on the Switch do you want to play? Like, it was nothing crazy. I didn't even check out the booth, really. I just walked past it out of curiosity. I think the biggest, like, AAA game that was there was probably Final Fantasy XIV Online. They were showing off some new DLC. And me and Chad were bored the last day. Well, not bored. Like, we were just walking around, right? And we're like, oh, let's check out Final Fantasy XIV DLC. And we just got in the back of the line, we were like, are we going to know what the hell we're doing? Like, it's an MMO, right? Like, are we even going to know what we're doing if we don't play the game? And the guy's like, yeah, probably not. And we're like, all right. And we just got out of line and walked away. But yeah, overall, it was a great weekend. Had a blast hanging out with the Raft Pack. We stayed in Cambridge, Massachusetts, which is, like, technically Boston. It was like a 10-minute drive to the convention center. Ate some good food. Shout out to Cozy. He brought so much candy, like, way too much candy from Canada. He just brought a bunch of Canadian treats. So random, but they were great. So shout out to Cozy for that. He also cooked some meals for us.
Sounds like a thing he would do.
yes, very much so. But yeah, it was a ton of fun. I would definitely go to another PAX in the future for sure.
Nice.
Especially because, like, the one issue I had with it is that it was freezing outside the whole weekend. So it was like, I didn't want to go explore, walk around Boston at all. Like, it just wasn't, it wasn't warm enough to do anything. Like, we walked to dinner one night, or, well, two nights we walked to dinner, but it wasn't, like, warm enough to really explore at all. And one of the days was super rainy, but next year they're holding it, at the beginning of May. So maybe I'll consider going again next year. Who knows?
Nice.
But yeah, those were my PAX adventures. I'm going to let you talk now.
All right. Yeah, I would say that you definitely got your fill in. I really don't have anything to say because I've just been home the entire time. So let's just get into some news that I gathered up to talk about for the last week or so. First up, Marvel Rivals has been announced. Joel, did you watch the Marvel Rivals reveal?
I did. It looks like they added a bunch of skins to Overwatch.
Yeah, it's third-person Overwatch, more melee-based. I mean, there are obviously people with guns, and they'll shoot and everything. This may end up being a better... Well, what was that Xbox game? Killer's Edge? I want to say it was something like... Bleeding Edge. Bleeding Edge, I think. Remember that game?
I don't know. People are, like, real excited for this. And I don't get it. Like, I think just because it's Marvel, maybe. But yes, something about it... Something about it seems like it just runs too slow. Right? Like, Spider-Man running, I feel like, should be kind of fast. But it looks like he's just, like, clunkily, like, slowly trotting around.
I mean, that's the problem with game balance.
Yeah.
Like in Overwatch, I want to be Tracer and just zip around freelessly, but they have to put some kind of balance in there to slow me down. No, I get that. There's a closed alpha coming in May. I signed up for it, so we'll see if I get in or not.
It's free to play.
It is going to be a free to play game. They haven't announced a release date. They just said that closed alpha in May. It's only on PC, though, which is a little disappointing. I would think like a Marvel thing that isn't a Sony exclusive or something that you would like get it on as many platforms as you could. I like that there's destructible environments. That's really the big thing that I think will set it apart from Overwatch. Well, obviously that and having all the Marvel characters. Of course, it's got a multiverse angle in there, so they're just gonna... This thing is gonna be peppered with microtransactions.
Like endless.
Endless. The people that are making this game made two Marvel mobile games, and neither of them you ever heard of. I think one is like called Marvel Super Wars, and then the other one is like Marvel Duel, which is a battling trading card game that you didn't know about because you only think of Marvel. What's the good one that everyone likes? I don't play it. The mobile card game. Shit.
Snap.
Marvel Snap. That's it. So yeah, that game, I can easily see that game coming out and everyone just like moving on because they're like, yeah, it's just microtransaction city in here. And there's only like two modes and they have a pretty good roster of characters so far with more on the way, which is cool. But there's a lot of just like, I don't know. It definitely doesn't look done. How about that?
Yeah.
I agree. Next up, Nintendo is about to lay off 100 contractors while with there being no big first-party games on the horizon. So yeah, this is a very interesting thing. Of course, we know the Nintendo Switch was delayed in the next year. But because right now, Nintendo, they just released Princess Peach Showtime. They've got Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door and Luigi's Mansion 2 HD coming out, which those aren't big games. They're both re-releases. Excited for both, but they're not like those aren't gonna sell consoles. Outside of that, it's really sounded like Nintendo has nothing first party for this year because of that Switch 2 delay. So they're letting some contractors go, but they're also like bringing some on to be full timers. And then they like actually like detailed, like they're like, yeah, we have these severance packages for all these people that we have to let go early. And it's like, man, if only every company would like deal with the people they have to let go like that. But yeah, still disappointing though to hear more layoffs, but this one I think is a little more understandable because they like literally put, they're like, our our quality assurance team has nothing to work on right now, like, because we have no games to give them to play at the moment. It's like, oh, okay, no, that delay is for real. Next up, Overwatch's next hero, Venture, is about to be playable in a test period this weekend. They look really cool. They have a drill, and like they can burrow underground and like pop out, and it looks really cool. I'm a little disappointed this week because there was a Jason Schreier report that the Overwatch PvE has just been completely canned. I don't know if you got a chance to see that or not, but
I saw the headline, but yeah.
Yeah. I wrote up an article that actually went up on GameSandwich.com yesterday, talking about like how Blizzard has just completely mismanaged Overwatch 2 since it was revealed in 2019. Like, it's just been constantly delays, canceling this, pushing back on that, like just bad stuff. But hey, look, we're just gonna focus on the PvP and get more microtransactions. Still one of my favorite games of all time, and I'm still playing it like every day, but it's just like, man, I was so excited for PvE. Sonic Toy Party is a Fall Guys like racing game rumored to come sometime this year. I can't really tell. Hold on, let me see if I can find it. I think this is a mobile game.
Is it?
Which I could be wrong. It could be more than that.
Yeah, also, how did they straight up just like steal the Toy Story logo?
That was one thing I wanted to bring up. It is just straight up the Toy Story logo.
That's crazy. It just says
Sonic Toys Party, which is absolutely insane. Like,
oh, this is 100% a mobile game. I'm watching a video and you can see like the thumbstick on the screen.
Yeah, I know it is mobile. I don't know if it's coming to other platforms or not, though. I would hope so, but
oh, this wasn't announced. It was just leaked. Right?
This has just been leaking like crazy this week. It hasn't been announced yet.
Why would they not just come out and announce it?
I feel like, so this like really started leaking. I think the first time I saw it was yesterday. But it's same with the Marvel Rivals game. Like, just a ton of leaks have been coming out for it lately. So I think they're probably gonna get close to an announcement like really soon, because like pretty much everything is being shown. Although I do think sooner or later they're gonna be like, okay, we don't want Disney getting on our ass, we're gonna change that logo.
Yeah,
because for real, it is just straight up Toy Story. That's a game. If it's not on mobile, I'll definitely try it. If it is only a mobile game, I like Sonic games and I like the Fall Guys formula, but man, I just don't like mobile games that much. xCloud is testing mouse and keyboard support. You gonna give that a try when it's ready?
Why the fuck would I try that?
Well, Mr. PC gamer over here. I'm playing Halo on my PC.
That happens like sometimes.
I gotta play on my mouse and keyboard that I...
Yeah, but when will I have a mouse and keyboard with me and I'm not at home and able to play?
It does seem like a weird... It seems like a very weird set of circumstances, right? Like,
I could see it being like for somebody who's super into like RTS games like Civ or like Age of Empires, and like they want to have like maybe like a foldable keyboard and tiny mouse, you know, when they're on the go. I don't know.
They've got their phone like sitting up somewhere, and they got one of those like rubber keyboard things that they're just tapping away on. I don't really get that, but whatever. I leaked Xbox Series X digital.
So it's basically an Xbox Series X with an improved heatsink but no major enhancements, and it's all digital, so it's just white with no disc tray. It just looks odd to me. I don't know.
Yeah, and you were saying it's the same price as
$499. It like something is weird about it, them, like, not even trying to change the form factor at all, right? Like, it's been 4 years. I would imagine they can make it smaller in some way, having removed the disk drive. The disk drive's a big component in this thing, yeah. Right? Like, it's not small.
Yeah. The Series X, though, also has those really big vents. So, I don't know. I'm not an engineer. The price thing is what really gets me. Because, like, when they came out with the Xbox One SAT edition, we were like, oh, this has to be $100 off. Then it was $50, and we were like, oh, that's not good enough. Like, that is not good enough if you want this to take off. And now they're just, like, straight up, like, putting it out at the same price. Like, no, that makes no sense. Why would anyone look at a regular Xbox Series X and then this digital one and be like, like, even me, who I'm like, yeah, no, I prefer to play everything digitally. Like, if it's the same price, just go for the disc version. Because there's going to be moments where you're like, oh, I'm going to throw a Blu-ray in.
Like, yeah, that's... yeah. Chad saw this and got excited because all of his consoles are white. And then he got upset when he realized that this is digital only. Because it has no... He uses his for his, like, 4K Blu-ray player. This is only 4K Blu-ray player in this house, so.
Gotcha. I also figure that they will make a white regular one at some point. I feel like they did that a lot with the Xbox One. Although, I guess that was kind of their, like, redesign when they went to the S. The One S. You have to, like, really diverge the series and the One consoles. Yeah, moving on, because I don't care that much. Rumors are starting to swirl of an Xbox-dedicated handheld. Now, this one, I'm all for. So, Phil Spencer had an interview with, I believe, Polygon recently, and he was talking about handhelds. He was talking about, like, the Steam Deck, there was, like, a couple other things. The Ally? And then...
ROG Ally,
and then the Linux thing.
Steam Deck?
No, not the Steam Deck. Or not Linux. Was it? I don't know. Whatever. He was like, yeah.
Legion Go,
maybe? That's what I was thinking of. He was like, yeah, I've got all these handles, and they're amazing. They feel like they're actual consoles, not like PCs. He's like, but how can I make this something like an Xbox? And he didn't really come out and say that, yeah, we are making a handheld Xbox, but he definitely, like, alluded to, like, they're testing something. He's like, yeah, we're messing with all these different form factors for our future hardware and how we can do all these interesting things to make Xbox feel more accessible wherever you're at. And I'm like, that is awesome. Because we also have been hearing rumors lately about PlayStation getting back into the handheld thing. Not just the PlayStation Portal that they recently came out with. Who the fuck cares about that thing? Besides people that apparently really like it. I want a dedicated handheld that can play all that stuff. But if I can get, like, a portable Xbox Series S that doesn't need an internet connection to play my games, like, it can just download and play those, that would be amazing. So I really hope that both of these rumors are real on both sides. I'm very happy that these companies, or at least having conversations back in this area of mobile gaming on actual handheld consoles, not stupid phones, because remember, like, a decade ago when everyone thought that phones were just going to completely take over gaming? Ugh, what a terrible timeline that would have been.
Yeah. How many microtransactions would you spend a week if that was the case?
I mean, it kind of already did in that aspect, but, like, it's not as bad as it could have been.
Yeah.
All right. Show me these.
You want to see some stuff I got at PAX?
I want to see some stuff you got from PAX. All right.
John, are you aware of the gas station chain called Buc-ee's?
I know the name. There's none of those around here, so I've never visited.
Yeah, there's none near me either. But I bought a shirt that's the Buc-ee's logo, but it has Bidoof on it.
Bidoofies?
Bidoofies, yep. I also bought a Baja Blastoise shirt, which is pretty sick. What else I got?
Oh, you got to show it.
It's like in the other room. I'll show it next week. I got two packs of cards for playing Pokemon trading card game.
Cool.
They're like starter decks to play with. One of them was Chad's. He didn't want it. And in playing that, I got a Penny Arcade pin, exclusive pin. Pretty cool. These are selling for like $60 on eBay already, which is crazy. I bought a Celeste pin, but it's on my backpack, and they gave me a free Fan Gamer pin. What else do I got? When I played Tape to Tape, they gave me pins for the four games that they were showing there. The Tape to Tape ones at the bottom. There were three other games. There was a BMX game that looked cool.
The fuck? I saw Demon Spore.
Demon Spore, Street Dog BMX, which looked cool, and Athena Crisis. Let's see. Where are we at? I bought... I'm missing one. I can't find it right now. But I bought three Pokemon pins. Two of them are
really?
Like this.
Really got into this. That's a cool pin. I'll give it that. You there's really that got one. Into these pins. I've never.
And been then I bought before. I bought another one that was similar, but it has Pikachu on it. I just don't know where it went. And then I bought this pin that is a Pokeball Death Star, which is pretty cool. I went to the Cyberpunk panel that Blessing hosted, and they gave me a free pin. This one's selling for $100 on eBay because it was like an exclusive pin.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. And I don't know. Apparently, because PAX is big into pins. Like these ones that say Penny Arcade on it are like the expensive ones, I guess. I don't really know.
Is there ever a situation that you would spend $100 on a pin?
Oh, fuck no. Fuck no. But there's people super into them, I guess. I don't know.
I guess. I could never.
When me and Adam went and played Let's Revolution, the dev gave us a patch based on a place in the game. I have a postcard for Pizza Bandit. Pizza Bandit postcard. Toge Productions gave me a demo kit.
Oh.
Which is pretty cool. It has like a flash drive in there. It says, congratulations, you now own a special limited edition of the Toge Productions demo kit, which contains our company profile and a flash drive containing demo builds of our games. So that's pretty cool.
That is actually really cool.
Yeah.
I wish more companies would do stuff like that, because like seeing how a game looks before release and just like having that for like five, 10 years down the road. Like if I could like just like have a flash drive of BioShock Infinite, which turned 11 yesterday. Like if I could just have like a flash drive of all the like beta builds of that game just to see it in action. Obviously you can look up videos and stuff, but like that would be so cool to have.
Yeah, so every game I had a meeting for as media to see, they gave me a flash drive of some sort. And they on the flash drive was typically just assets, right? Like thumbnails or, you know, video of gameplay, stuff like that. But this one actually has demo builds of the game, which is really cool.
That is
cool. All right, what else? You want to see some games I bought? For playing Star Wars, they gave me two, like, event-exclusive cards. Because I played against like the guy running the game, we all got them. Everybody
those
who played
will or will not be worth something.
They're already selling for like $85 on eBay.
All right, there
isn't
you go.
That, isn't that wild? That's crazy.
Absolutely insane.
That's crazy.
I'm saying this, but I do remember there was a time when I was collecting Funko Pop figures that there was a
the event exclusive ones.
There was an event exclusive one. That it was Junkrat and Roadhog that I was like seething at the mouth to get.
And yeah, you're like browsing eBay, finding the one guy who's selling it for less than everybody else.
Yeah.
The thing about the Cyberpunk one is I looked into it because I was curious. And apparently this pin leaked like 3 years ago or 2 years ago. Because like it leaked as a Penny Arcade exclusive pin, and they just never used it, and people thought that maybe they just never were, because it's rare that a pin would leak.
I love the idea that they were, like, testing a pin for 3 years.
Yeah, dude, I don't know. But, and so when I was leaving the panel, there were people, as we were, so this, it was in the main theater. I was leaving down the escalator, and there, like, some lady's like, I'm buying pins. Who's selling their pin from that? And there was a guy holding just a piece of paper that he wrote in a marker. I will buy your pin. And he had $150 in his hand. And I didn't know if it was like just trying to bait people in with the money and be like, I'll give you 10 bucks for it or whatever. So I just kept it. I walked away. I don't know. Maybe I'll sell it. I don't need this many pins. Shout out to Matt. So on Monday morning, we drove to Rhode Island and we spent the day with Matt in Dallas. And Matt took us to his parents' house, like his childhood home, because that's where like most of his video game collection is, in their basement. And he gave me Snowboard Kids.
Oh, I love Snowboard Kids.
He gave me Snowboard One Kids
and
two.
Too. Oh, it's so good.
And he gave me Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Snowboard Kids, both of those games right there. Those were probably the games I rented the most from Blockbuster back in the day. I loved those games, but I never owned them.
I've never played them. Also, these are reproduction copies. They're not real.
Oh, that's lame.
Yeah. Yeah, he told us going in, he's like, yeah, I have a bunch of repro copies of these three games. Because apparently his brother was at a garage sale and they were selling them for like $1 each. And he's like, sure, I'll take all of them.
I was going to note those were in very good condition.
Yeah.
But legitimately, Snowboard Kids 1 and 2, I love those games.
And then the last games I have are all Game Boy games. I bought Star Wars Episode 1 Racer for the Game Boy Color with the Rumble Pack. I bought Tony Hawk's Underground for the Game Boy Advance. I bought Tetris for the Game Boy.
Classic.
I didn't own that. I'll be right back. I have two more.
Gotta get the analog pocket out. Snowboard Kids too.
I bought the best snowboarding game ever made, Amped 3 for the Xbox 360.
Okay.
This game's badass. And I bought MVP Baseball 2004, John. There you go.
Hey.
In super nice condition.
That is in nice condition.
I was going to buy 05, but they didn't have it.
A lot better than the Slugfest that I got recently.
Yeah. Other games I bought. There's three more. I bought Pokemon Red
in the
Japanese version. I bought...
Let me guess, it was 20 bucks.
30.
Oh, okay.
I bought Pokemon Blue.
Oh, how much was that one?
60.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And I bought Pokemon Gold.
Yeah.
This was also 60.
Oh, that one's actually not as bad as I thought it'd be.
Yeah, and that's everything I got at PAX.
Nice.
A lot of collectibles to show off. If I didn't do it all right now while I had it all ready, I would never remember.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, that's some good stuff. I'll jump into what I've been playing lately since you were going through all that. First up, I finished off Jack 2.
You finished off Jack?
I did. As well. I finished Jack 2, which is the sequel to Jack and Daxter, originally a PS2 game. But they've got like a trilogy collection on PS4 that you can buy. And I've had it for years. And so I've played the first game back in the day when I was a kid, and my friend had Jack 2, and I would watch him and I was like, oh yeah, this game looks pretty cool, but I never got a chance to play myself. So I finally went through and played it, and this game is such a Shadow the Hedgehog ass game. It tries so hard to be so like edgy and serious, and it's just like such a tonal shift from the first game. And I think it kind of made me not like it as much. Like, it's got guns now and Jack talks, and he's always talking in this low, gruff voice. He's like, better get out of my way. I'm the baddest guy around. You can't trust me. It's like, dude, I am totally out of this right now. It is a good game. The game seemed to like drag on forever. It just kept going, and I was just like, man, I want this game to end, and it finally did. And when it did, I was like, okay, now I've got to play Jack 3, but I'm taking a break. I'm gonna wait before I start that game up. But it was pretty good. The Jack and Daxter games, 100%. I've been saying this since they announced The Last of Us Part 1 remake. The Jack and Daxter games need remakes so much more than The Last of Us does. Like, those are games that they're great, and they have their fans, obviously. Like, there's a lot of people that love those games from back in the PS2 days. You can redo those, make them better, make the camera so much better. That would help a lot. Make just the controls better. Like, shooting is R1, and then if you want to do like a roll jump, you have to press L1 and then X at the right time to like actually like boost forward and all that. There's also like no aiming system. It's just whatever way your body is turned when you shoot, you'll either automatically lock on to the target or you won't. So you're just like spamming it, just hoping that you'll actually hit whatever you're trying to shoot at. Yeah, those games need remakes bad. But if you take them with a grain of salt and you're like, for what these were when they came out in the early 2000s, they're still good games.
Yeah, I've never played any of the Jack games, so I know nothing about them.
Gotcha. I've also been playing MLB The Show 24. I've mostly been playing franchise, as per usual. So what I did was I did something a little different this year. Usually I'll just make my Cardinals team and then I'll manage that team throughout the years of the franchise. This time I actually did a fantasy draft, and I picked like my first three picks and then just let it auto draft. I wasn't a big fan of what the computer chose me, so I actually simulated through the first year, and then in the off season I went and pretty much rebuilt my team. Like, I signed some free agents, made some trades to make it a team I really like. And yeah, like we said earlier, it's MLB The Show still. There's not much different. Like, the biggest difference in franchise, I think, is, let's see, they kind of changed up the drafts a little bit, so you can like tell if like a player is injured a lot or something. It's not that big. I started making a Diamond Dynasty team, but I haven't played that very much at all. So yeah, it's The Show, all right.
Yeah, we should do a connected franchise with like me, you, and Adam.
They don't have connected franchise.
They don't?
Are you talking about that league thing that your one friends did that one year?
There's no such thing as a connected franchise in this? Or not franchise, or maybe a season? I don't know.
There might be that season thing still, but they haven't had connected franchise in a long time.
I'm looking it up.
Because, yeah, the franchise is only single player. There was like, some kind of online mode that you can do, but
it's not franchise. You should look into it. Okay, yeah, well, we should look into it regardless. I think it would be fun if we could, with just three of us, with like AI teams.
Even if that, we just want to like build up Diamond Dynasty teams.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. Yeah, and I had stuff in what I've been playing, but nothing exciting.
You told us everything you've been playing.
Yeah, I played a bunch of new games. I'm excited to play Tabletop Simulator, Star Wars Unlimited, amongst other things.
Tabletop Simulator is great.
Yeah.
Growing up in Iowa, there's not a lot of people that, at least where I grew up, Not a lot of people were into that kind of stuff, so I never got into like tabletop games. Like the only kind of board game I know from in my childhood, the only kind of board games I knew was like Uno and Monopoly. So
yeah,
those can only take you so far.
Yeah, playing Star Wars Unlimited and like just having other people that are excited to play it has me excited to play more of it. You know what I mean?
For sure.
But with that, we are going to end the show. This has been episode 257 of the Pixel Street Podcast. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Pixel Street. Check out the pinned tweet there to join all of our social media networks, I guess. I fumbled my words there. Join the Discord server. Say what's up. If you want to play Star Wars Unlimited, hit me up. Tabletop Simulator. And we can get down on some of that. Subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/pixelstreetvideos, where we stream this show live every Wednesday. The show will then post Friday mornings around 8 a.m. On all audio platforms. John, where are you at on the internet?
On Twitter, I am at Revic Shadows. On, I guess I should start throwing this out there, on Blue Sky. I don't know how Blue Sky does it. It's like a weird thing. It's like they don't have like an at system. It's at johnhanson.esky.social. I don't know. Just search up John Hansen on Blue Sky. I want to start posting there more because it's not as big of a hellscape as Twitter is. You can also find my writing on gamesandwich.com.
Cool. You can find me on Twitter at Campo63 or twitch.tv/Campo63. We will be right back here next week with episode 258 of the Pixel Street Podcast.
Bye!